I wanted to talk a little bit about mothers. Hopefully build us up a little bit and make us think. So if we're going to talk about mothers, we have to talk about women, because we guys make very poor mothers, right? First place, we don't have the physical characteristics that'll make it happen. And second place, we're not very good at it when we try. We try occasionally, but we're not very good at it. In Genesis, the first chapter, it says, if I can find my right place here. Not good to start out with the wrong thing. That's terrible. Here we are. It's in the second chapter, not the first chapter. In Genesis, the second chapter, and verse 18, God had finished all of his creation, all the wonderful things that we see and understand very little of. Of all the creation, we understand probably less than 1% of how things really work. Every time we make a discovery, there's 10 others lying underneath it that we weren't even aware that were there. About the simplest things, a bug, how a leaf works, much less how your body works, and how nature works, and how weather works, and how dirt works, and everything else, but very little that we really understand at all. But we do know that God created it all, and God looked at it all and said it was very good. Very, very, very good. I like this. This is good. When God said something is very good, it's pretty good. Okay? But then he looked and he said, oh, there's something not so good here. There's something not so good here. The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Not good for man to be alone. And I want you to think about this, because God said this, and no one accuses God of lying, but God was there. God was walking with Adam. God was talking with Adam, conversing with Adam, spending time with Adam. God was there. But God said, Adam is alone. He's alone. So woman was created to supply something that God could not. God was there, and he said, man needs something else. He needs something else. Something that I can't give him. He was there. Something I personally can't give him. There are lots of things that God can't do. We'll talk about those in a little bit. Because of his own nature. But what did a woman supply that God could not? And I will get to mothers, believe me or not. What did woman supply that God could not? Well, what was she created for? A help meet or proper or appropriate for man. In every way. Be it mental, spiritual, emotional, social, or physical, a help meet or proper or appropriate for him. So Adam had already, at God's instruction, gone through all the animals, including the monkeys and the gorillas. And he said, I didn't find any appropriate help meet for man. The gorilla just didn't quite make it. I didn't find anything else. There wasn't one there. The fact of the matter, and some of these things I'm going to tell you are so obvious, but it's usually the obvious things that get us in trouble. God is God and we are not. God is God and we are not. We are human beings. God is not a human being. God is God. That's who he is. And we are human beings. So in the garden, when they were talking, was man the equivalent of God mentally? Were they solving problems together? The same way two men solve problems together, or a man and a woman solve problems together? Was God and man solving problems together? God's mentality, the foolishness of God, is more than the wisdom of men. So God could not provide the same kind of mental gymnastics that mankind needs. Was man the equal or a helpmeet? Was God a helpmeet for God? Was God a helpmeet for man spiritually? No. God is pure light. Pure light. And man at this point didn't even know the difference between right and wrong, because that was what the tree gave him. Right? The knowledge of good and evil. So there wasn't any deep spiritual thing there. Was God and man equal emotionally? Were they equal emotionally? Now, never forget that God is an emotional being. He does have emotions. He does have anger. We know that. He's displayed it on several times. He does have joy. He's told us about that several times. But there are certain emotions that just because of who God is, and God's God and we're not, that God doesn't have. And he can't have. What does the word empathy mean to you? Compassion means I feel for you. But empathy means I feel for you because I've been there. Could God do that with man? Could God know what it was like to trip over a root and fall on your face? Could God do that? Could God talk about the concept of fear or confusion? Could God talk about that with man? Or loneliness? Or anxiety? You think God gets anxious or depressed? Do you think he gets tired? Does he understand? He understands, but does he experience the concepts of submissiveness and humility? No. He's God and we're man. He's God and we're man. Man needed someone to share these things with. To share these things with, and woman came uniquely qualified. And by extrapolation, mothers became uniquely qualified. So God made woman. In verse 22, Adam said, she's bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh, and she's my equal. And not till sin entered into the world was she anything less than his equal. His equal. But not the same. Not the same. Again, basics are sometimes the hardest things to get our heads around. But believe it or not, mothers are much better at some things in life than fathers. Now, there's a shocker. Mothers are much better at some things in life than fathers. Which are you most likely to see a picture of? And I'm not telling you what the significance is, but which are you most likely to see a picture of? A man hugging his mother or a man hugging his father? If you watch a sporting event, which are you most likely to hear or see? I just scored a touchdown. Mom, thank you, Mom, for what you did, taking care of me. Or Dad, thank you, Dad. Which one do you hear? Why is that? Why is that? Because God made women different than us. They're just different. We knew you were different, okay? But we don't understand it, okay? And we never will understand it. But it's different in a fantastic but mysterious way. I want you to look at Genesis 4 for me, because that's where it all started. It says, Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. I just love the Bible, how it passes over so much stuff and so few words. So much stuff. What was it like for Eve? What was it like when she delivered Cain? Now, women today, when they deliver, we usually have someone there that says, that's the way it's supposed to go. That's the way it's supposed to feel. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. Come on. You'll get there. It's coming. It's coming. Nothing's wrong. Everything's okay. Who did that with Eve? All alone except for Adam, delivering a baby. I always think it takes a unrealized or unappreciated courage for a woman to deliver a baby. It takes more courage than we guys have, because we just kind of faint at the thought of the episiotomy. Okay? But what kind of courage does that take? Never been there before. First baby, never been there before. I remember Mom tells me about every other time I see her that she remembers holding me on her lap and crying because she didn't know what she was going to do with me. She still doesn't. But what, for us guys, what kind of courage does that take? Just the physical deliverance of a baby. You know, until recently, fairly close recently, this was a life-threatening event. Women actually put their life on the line to have a baby because a certain, what we consider alarming percentage, didn't survive it. What kind of courage does that take? And what did it take for Eve? Who taught Eve how to hold a baby? Who taught Eve how to feed a baby? How to console a baby? How to raise a child? How to listen to a teenager? How to let them go when they're adults? Who taught Eve that? There's a courageous woman. Now, I can't say that she had a lot of choices, but that didn't mean it wasn't courageous. Who taught her those things? Women are instinctively different than men. Now, these are generalizations. You will find, you'll think in your heart of maybe what you might consider an exception here or there. But in general, without a lot of other influences, women are instinctively different than men. You hand a baby to a woman, and they instinctively, naturally act different than you handing a baby to a man. They don't hold them the same. It's not the same. God made mothers He's the one who put the instincts in. I often wonder how many things we've lost because we're so smart that our instincts get buried by thinking. That's sometimes what we do during delivery or during early stages of life. We encourage women to behave instinctively. Don't listen to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that's trying to tell you how to do something. Just do it. Just do it. Trust your instincts. God made mothers. And don't ever underestimate the influence of mothers. Don't ever underestimate. It's no accident that as we go through 1 Kings, and I'm just going to pick out a few here, 1 Kings reads like this. I have a new Bible, so I'm slow with it. Jehoshaphat was 30 and 5 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 20 and 5 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shelbi, and he walked in all the ways of Asa, his father. In the 20th and 7th year of Jeroboam, king of Israel, began Azariah, son of Amaziah, king of Judah, to reign. 16 years old was he when he began to reign. He reigned 250 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name, why does that keep coming up? His mother's name was Jochaliah, how'd you like to have a name like that, of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, began Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, to reign. 25 years old was he when he began to reign. He reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. And guess what? His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok. Why do you think it mentions that? I thought these were just broodmares. They were important, that's why. They were important. They had a great deal to do with why these kings followed in the path of God. That's why. That's exactly why. And it goes on and on and on and on. I just picked out those two, three, because I could find them fast. In 2 Timothy, we know what Paul says about it. You know, I heard about you, Timothy. And I heard about your family. Your dad, your mom, your grandpa, your grandma. No. Interestingly, your mother, Lois, and your grandmother, Eunice. I think I got that right. And the great faith that they have that I feel is also in you, Timothy. Thank God for good mothers. Okay? Thank God for mothers. Man's influence, and I tried to think about this yesterday and try to figure out what the difference was. Man's influence tends to be by reputation and leadership. By providing for the family and disciplining the family. But a woman's influence is constant. It seems like we men are in and out, in and out, in and out. But the woman's influence is constant, and it's always there. Always there. And it's different. And you know what? Even their touch is different. Even their touch is different. The touch of a father on your arm is different than the touch of a mother on your arm. I don't know why. It just is. It's different. The same as when you're married, the touch of your wife on your arm is different than my touch on your arm, I hope. It's different. It's just different. It's one of those things I'm not sure we understand, but I think God understands it because he built us that way. When I was thinking about mothers, there's a host of mothers in the Bible to go to. But I chose the mother of the first child, Eve, and the mother of the Son of God, Mary. In Acts, the second chapter, Mary had just recently delivered Jesus. And the people came and worshiped him. How does that feel to Mary? How does that feel to Mary? To have a child under very unusual circumstances, to say the least, and have people come and worship. They didn't just come to say, oh, he's a nice looking boy, he looks just like his daddy. They came to say, he's God. What was that like for Mary, the mother of the Son of God? Who taught Mary how to hold the Son of God? Do you hold the Son of God different? I don't know the answer to that question. I just was thinking. Do you feed the Son of God different? Do you console the Son of God different? How do you encourage the Son of God? How do you listen to the cares and concerns of the Son of God? Is it different than any other child? We know she had lots of others later. Is it different? And this lady was a single mom. She was a single mom. Joseph came running to the rescue to try to save her reputation. But in essence, she was in danger of being a single mom. She didn't know God was sending Joseph to the rescue. She didn't know God was going to have a talk with Joseph and say, the child is mine. Take her and take care of her and leave her alone yourself until after she's delivered. She didn't know anything about that. She thinks in Jerusalem, in Bethlehem, at that time, she thinks, under all their societal mores, she thinks she's a single mom. By God, a single mom. What a position to be put in. Delivered in a manger. Now, you may think one hospital is better than the other or one's more equipped than the other or whatever, but I don't know that any of you delivered in a manger. I've delivered a couple in the back of a car and in some unforeseen circumstances in a house that, come to think of it, might have been dirty enough to be a manger, but in a manger with no help. 14 years old, probably. 14 years old. And then as soon as the child's born and things, you're maybe starting to get used to it, maybe you get to sleep through the night, right? Starting to get used to it, then you got to take up and move to Egypt, not across town, to Egypt. Because the powers that be are after the babies. Okay? And about the time you get settled in Egypt, you got to move back. And you don't go back to Bethlehem because you hear that somebody of the same order as the first guy might be looking for him again. And I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but if they'd gone back to Bethlehem, Jesus would have been the only two-year-old there, the only one that would have been born during that time. There would have been, if they'd have done kindergarten roundup, he would have been the only one in Bethlehem of that age group. How do you think Mary felt when she heard about Jesus doing a miracle? This boy that she had, her boy, took a blind man and made him see. Took a lame man and made him jump around like he was a sprinter. Walked on water. And most importantly, raise some people from the dead. That's my boy. That's my boy. How about when she heard about his teaching? And he was even doing stuff on the Sabbath. Think that was confusing? She's a Jew. She's grown up with the same teaching that all the rest of them had grown up with. Think that was confusing? I know this is a child of God, but doing this stuff? I don't understand. Or hearing the adoration of, or seeing the crucifixion of. We know in John, the 19th chapter, Jesus hanging on the cross looked and saw his mother standing next to the disciple that he loved, which he uses to refer to John. Oh boy, got to break this Bible in. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, now this is hanging on a cross now. This is after you've been whipped till your muscles are showing through or your skin and your back. This is after you're so weak you can't carry your own cross any farther. And that's probably just a cross member, but still can't carry it any farther. You got nails through your hands and your feet. And you look down and you say, I see mom. And he said, woman, behold thy son. And to the disciples, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. The concern and love that he showed for his mother was the right thing to be. In fact, in the law of Moses, if you smote your mother in any way, shape, or form, or you cursed your mother in any way, shape, or form, you were taken outside the camp and executed. Executed. We have this saying that we sometimes use, just, I brought you into this world, I can take you out too. Well, they did. They did. That child misbehaved. Was that rebellious? They did. That's how important God thought the relationship to the mother was. There's a story in the middle of Jesus' mission that sometimes I think we misconstrue. Then came to him his mother and his brethren and could not come at him for the press. There's so many people around him, they couldn't get to him. There's a mob around him trying to get to him. And someone told him it was told by him, certain which said, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee. Your mom and your brothers are here to see you. He answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. That is an expression of his concern for all of us and everyone. It is not an expression of lack of respect for his mother. Now, if you go to every one of the places where you read that, it does not say he didn't go see his mother. It does not say his mother didn't come in to see him. Nowhere does it say that. I happen to believe he saw his mother. I happen to believe he gave her an audience and spent time with her because he honored his mother. He was just making a comment about these people's value, not her lack of value. Misconstrued. We sometimes do the exercise of, if you could sit down in history and talk to someone, who would it be? And we hear people say Lincoln, or wouldn't it be interesting to sit down and talk to Mary? Wouldn't it be interesting? Luke 2 and 51, after Jesus had gone to the temple to annoy and amaze the prophets and lawyers there, and was off by himself. They didn't know where he was. And after it's all done, in verse 51 there, it says, Mary kept all these things and many others in her heart. Man, what a storehouse. What a storehouse that would have been to tap into. You know, mothers know their children better than anyone else. They tend to know them better than their fathers. In John, the second chapter, we have Jesus' first miracle. Third day, there was a marriage in the Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They're out of wine." That's disgraceful. In this time, that was disgraceful. They ran out of wine. Jesus said unto her, and I dislike how this comes across, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother, look at her response. His mother said unto the servants, "Whatsoever he tells you to do, you do it. Do it." What did she know? What did she know? She hadn't done any of the miracles that we know of. What did she know? "Mom, I really wasn't planning on this, but I guess if you think so." He did it. He said, "What have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." But he did it. He changed water to wine. Mothers know their children sometimes better than the children know themselves. Mothers, you know and are joyful when your children do wonderful things. Mothers, you're sometimes confused by your children, but love them anyway. And you share them with many others as they mature. But never, ever, ever underestimate the influence you've had and that you still have. And that you still have. You know, on the cross, Jesus looked down and saw his mother and said, "John, you take care of her like she was your very own. Mary, you can depend on John because he's going to take care of you like he was your son." But in the end, Jesus didn't save Mary. Mary got saved by Jesus' death. The same Jesus that she held and took care of and listened to, encouraged, corrected, listened to, observed growing up, heard about, the same Jesus that she had held, died on a cross for her, rose again for her, and because of that, she will be in heaven. Jesus saved Mary's soul. Jesus saved Mary's soul. And Jesus stands ready to save your soul as well. Fortunately, my soul is saved today because of the influence of my mother and father, the truth, and Jesus' sacrifice. That's about it. That's about it. Hopefully you've had the influence of a good mother, good father. Hopefully you've heard the truth. And hopefully you appreciate the sacrifice that both your mother has made, but even more, far more, the sacrifice that Jesus made so you can be saved. Spend eternity with Jesus and Mary and your loved ones and all of us. That might be scary, but you can spend eternity with us because of what Jesus did. Jesus was a product of his father, but Jesus was also a product of his mother. We'll offer the invitation as we stand and sing.